electronic things.
That's his area of expertise, yeah. Not mine. Not that stuff. Hey, everybody. Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Tamalyn Powell. Tam started her career as a copywriter on the client side and has transitioned into a brand strategist and thought leader in the healthcare and higher education industries. She joined the agency world in 1997 at BVK in Milwaukee as an account supervisor, and now oversees the agency's higher education practice as a senior vice president group account director. She credits growing up as an Air Force brat with her ability to jump into new situations quickly and confidently and create meaningful relationships. Tam, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lori. It's good to be here.
Well, it's exciting to have you here. I'm sure you've got lots of fantastic stories to share with our listeners today.
Yes, I hope so.
Let's start with talking about marketing a little bit, since we're both in the same field,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly.
What is the biggest issue marketers face today?
You know, I really think it's staying relevant because our field is changing like literally by the second. There's always new marketing platforms and ideas, and people have different expectations of what they want from marketers. And so we have got to stay relevant. And, you know, the older we get, the more challenging I think that becomes. You've really got to set your sights on it, I think.
Yeah, there's definitely something new happening every single day. And I'm sure you experience this, at least the way we do, is we at least want to be able to answer the questions that our clients are asking us, right?
Exactly. We'd like to be able to, you know, tell them things even before they ask. That's the ideal world. Yep. You know, so we surround ourselves with people who stay abreast of certain aspects of it and make sure that we stay smart ourselves.
Absolutely. So what has been the most important career decision that you've made?
Really dedicating myself to learning something new every day. Like, not a day goes by where I don't learn something either about the field I work in, about people in general, about the industries that I specialize in. I really work hard to make sure that I come away at the end of the day with some new knowledge that I did not wake up with.
Okay, so do you reflect back on that daily?
I do. Nice. I do, and it's part of a book I'm reading that's really challenging me to kind of reprioritize things and how I'm spending my time, because, you know, we get bombarded with these darn marketing messages that we're all sending out, right?
We
have to figure out what we want to pay attention to, and that is something I take very personally too. And I really do.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Good. What is the one thing in your life that you are most proud of?
You know, I would have to say there are three things, and they're my children. I cannot believe how awesome my kids turned out. And it wasn't an easy situation with them growing up. We had some personal things that we had to overcome. And being able to say that they're all like contributing members of society is something I'm incredibly proud of.
That's really cool.
Thanks.
Congrats on that. So let's talk a little bit about networking. You mentioned that as an Air Force brat, you had to jump into relationships fairly quickly. I'm sure you've got some really good stories to share with our listeners.
Yeah.
Can you share with me your most successful or favorite networking story that you've got?
Yeah, it actually has to do with the military, ironically, but because we moved every 2 or 3 years, I really didn't have time to like get used to situations. I really had to just jump in and figure them out. So I'm not a shy person. I don't wait for things to unravel. I just sort of to jump in. And that's served me well, actually, in my life. And it's funny, whenever we go on a new business pitch, I find myself saying, oh, well, I used to live here. Or my colleagues were like, wait, you lived here too? And I'm like, yep. And so it's really funny. But I know a lot about a lot of parts of the country.
Sure.
But I met the most fascinating woman that has become like a sister to me. And her name is Janine Sijon. And bear with me. Take a minute with this story. But her brother was a gentleman named Lance Sijon. They were raised in Bayview, Wisconsin. And Lance went to the Air Force Academy, where my dad went, my brother and my son. But Lance graduated and then went off to Vietnam, and his plane went down in Vietnam, and he was a prisoner of war. And he survived for a long time and finally died at the Hanoi Hilton about 50 years ago.
Wow.
Well, He's from Milwaukee, as I mentioned. And so my son actually lived in Sijon Hall when he was at the academy.
Okay.
And so I knew the name. And my dad called one day, and in the Air Force Association of Graduates magazine, there was an ad with Janine Sijon wanting to raise money to move the replica of Lance's plane from this obscure part of the airport to where it is now prominently. Right when you come into Mitchell International,
sure.
You'll see
yeah.
it. And she tried for 10 years to raise money and get all the permissions and do all this. And my dad saw this and said, hey, you should reach out to her and see if BVK can help.
Yeah.
So I did. I literally emailed her, and within 10 seconds, she had emailed me back. And we met, and we, like, bonded like crazy over her brother, my son, mm-hmm. the whole bit. And so BVK was able to help, and I was able to help personally as well. And we helped raise money, and now we're working on a documentary. But the plane has now been relocated.
Oh, wow.
But she is one of the most amazing, fascinating people I've ever met. And she never stops moving. And her brother died 50 years ago. And she will not let his legacy die.
Wow.
And she wants everyone to know what a man of character her brother was.
Sure.
And what it meant to the city of Milwaukee. And I'm proud to know her.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. I never even knew that there's a story behind
yes,
that.
Yes, it's a great story. Check out
that's out
LanceSijon.com has this whole story. And she's doing a documentary. She just finished it, actually. And I think it's playing June 25th here in Milwaukee.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So it all connected with the Air Force.
It really did.
And your dad's the one that kind of...
Yes. The colonel.
Nudged it forward.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you've got a great relationship
yes.
with her.
Yes. Now I have a new sister. I just had two dumb brothers, so this is really awesome.
I'm sure they want to hear that.
Yeah. Well, I tell them to their face. That's fine.
So as you've traveled the world and met all of these amazing people, mm-hmm. how do you stay in front of and best nurture your network?
You know, there's a couple of different ways. I think the new way is, you know, online and mm-hmm. reaching out to people and things like these awesome podcasts. But I don't think you can ever make up for really that, you know, face-to-face conversation and just checking in with people. And that's something I'm not that good at, but I will, you know, it's important to me and I want to make time for it more.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's really important.
Absolutely.
And so I think it's a balance of, you know, shooting someone an email that you met at a conference and, hey, you mentioned this and I saw this article and I thought you'd really like to see this. And sometimes just picking up the phone and saying, hey, how you doing? For not because we're trying to sell, you know, our company's wares or whatever, but just sometimes people have, you can learn so much from them.
Mm-hmm.
And you can learn something personally or professionally that will help you be a better marketer or a better person. And I feel like if you look through that lens when you're meeting people, as opposed to how is this person going to help me grow my business,
yep.
but how about grow your mind or your emotion or whatever. So, and we talk at BVK about values-based positioning and positioning on a core human value.
Yep.
And everybody has them, and so do brands. So we've been focusing on this value thing for the last 10 years, and it really got me thinking, like, you know, there are things in, whether you know it or not, there are things that you stand for. And if you stand for them, so do other people. And I think I like finding those people, like Janine Sijon. And
uh-huh.
we have so much in common, and we knew within 10 seconds of talking to each other that we had this bond that, you know, some people don't understand because they haven't lived through something similar. And so I feel like if you can find those people, what a great emotional experience that is.
Yes.
And often those experiences end up helping you grow your business,
uh-huh.
but that's not the lens you look
secondary.
Through. It's secondary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's great. I love that. And identifying the common ground based on values is really powerful.
Right.
Actually.
And so that I've taken that sort of personally, and I have the opportunity, because we do have to go out and get quote unquote new business, I get to meet all sorts of really great people
totally.
Across the country. And if you dig down, we're not all that different, you
uh-huh.
know? And I found even people on both sides of the political fence all kind of want the same thing.
Yep.
And so, you know, obviously there's the extremists on both sides, but it's like in the end, people just want, you know, good things for people
mm-hmm.
and they want to do right by people and they want the world to be, you know, a better, more loving place. I think most people want that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we just need to kind of have that common conversation, I think.
Yeah. Strong piece of advice right mm-hmm. there for sure. Speaking of advice, what advice would you offer the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
I think really going out again with that lens of anybody you come across, even if it's a person sitting next to you on the airplane, even when you're not in the mood, try to have a short conversation. And if it doesn't go anywhere, great, you know, just make small talk, be pleasant. And but just meeting people who can impart some pearl of wisdom on you, especially older people. Mm-hmm. I think we overlook the value of their legacy and what they've already accomplished. And maybe are dismissive of, well, they're probably not relevant anymore. Why would I seek advice from them, or why would I want to have a conversation? But I've always left a conversation with an older person sort of going, wow, that was really incredible.
Yeah.
And so I encourage people just to meet people more and just have a quick conversation. It doesn't have to be an hour long, or with the purpose of getting more business. It's
sure.
just about expanding your share of mind, if you will.
Yes, I like that, expanding your share of mind.
Yeah.
It's very powerful. So if someone's looking to ask some of those questions, mm-hmm. or just to kind of be curious, mm-hmm. what types of questions would you recommend that this newbie asks? How's the weather? What's your
right.
favorite sports
and obviously
team?
About them, like ask them what they did for a living or do for a living, or what do they like best about what they do? And that can often open up conversation, or you'll find some common ground. I think one of the mistakes people make when they're trying to network is they talk about themselves a lot because they're uncomfortable and they don't know how to start the conversation.
Yep.
And it's like, hey, I'm Tam Powell and I do this. And it's like, they're like, great, I'm going to go over here, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's really more like, hey, I like your top. Or I walked up to this woman the other day. Are those Rothy's, you know, those shoes you see all over Facebook?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like $140. So I'm like, is it worth it? Like, I want to know. They look really cool. Are they comfortable?
Yep.
Can you wash them? All of that, you know. And
yeah.
I had this conversation with this woman on a train coming back, you know, between the airport and
sure.
wherever I was going in San Francisco. And we had a great conversation about shoes. And I found out what she did for a living. And it was just, we just had a nice exchange. And
yeah.
I walked away feeling like, oh, okay, I have some new information. It happens to be about shoes, but that's okay. It was a good conversation.
Yeah, totally. That makes sense. And it's not threatening then.
No.
Because everyone can smell a sales pitch a mile
Absolutely,
away.
And that's not what you want. And sometimes, you know, even like when I'm networking, we may even get a new potential employee out of it. I'll find somebody who's, you know, waiting the table, who says, oh, yeah, I'm going to school for marketing.
Sure.
I'll give them my card and say, hey, give me a call, we'll network. And
yeah.
we've actually hired a couple of people because we've met them on other circumstances.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Or we at least are able to give them advice. And I remember calling total strangers to network for a career. And so I'll never turn anybody down. I will at least have a phone conversation with
yeah.
them.
Yeah, good. So you slightly touched on this earlier on, but digital networking or traditional networking, which one do you find more value in?
Both. Totally. Digital is easier and I think it's more comfortable for people, but it's kind of one-sided. I mean, I can put something out there like on our LinkedIn or whatever and people read it and they might make a comment, but it's not very personal.
Okay.
Rarely do they call and say, can I ask you a couple questions about that or whatever? It's safer,
yep.
but I also think it allows you to stay in that safe environment and not exchange on an emotional level.
Correct.
That you can't do without doing what we're doing right now, and that's sitting right in front of each
yep.
other, right?
Yep.
So I think they're both valuable because you have to be practical.
Uh-huh.
Digital is easier and people take it in more and, you know, and I think the younger generations aren't as receptive as of a total stranger coming up to them going, hey, I like your shoes, or do you work here? Or just
yeah.
trying to create a conversation. So I think it's both.
Yeah. No, I agree. I'm definitely a fan of both. I'm actively engaged in a number of networking groups because I love that face-to-face.
Right, right.
But I'll advocate all day long for leveraging digital.
Absolutely. I think they're both really valuable.
For individuals and brands.
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, it goes both ways.
Yeah.
I always like this question. Tam, if you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
You know, just go with my gut more. Overthink it less. I think we're our own worst critics, and it's good to be you know, you want to look at things and go, oh, geez, could I have done that better? That's always good. But I think we err on the side of, oh, I didn't do that very well, instead of, could I have done that better?
Uh-huh.
Or maybe it, as a learning tool of, gee, you know, I went on too long when they asked me this question. I should have just cut it off at here. I'm going to make a note of that. But we sort of look at it as an opportunity to beat ourselves up, and it takes away from your self-confidence, I think, when you do that. So
sure.
I think really just, and I think we're, some people are more intuitive than others. I find myself being very intuitive, so I need to listen to that more.
Yep.
Sometimes that little voice is telling me something, I'm like, nah, and I keep going, and it's like, and I was right.
Yep.
So I would tell myself, listen to yourself more, give yourself more credit, but, you know, do look back and say, could I have done it better?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's really important to trust your gut.
Yeah. And be reflective, but don't be, you know, so negative, or, you know, assume you did it wrong. And I think some, you know, some would say millennials would do it the opposite, where they think they do everything great. And I don't find that to be the case. And I've studied millennials a lot, and I've given birth to three of them, right? So, and some of them are definitely are overconfident for their age, but I think that actually serves them well.
Okay.
And I'm sure it's because we all told them they were special snowflakes and all the things that we did as parents. But I think they are more confident at their young age than I was at in my 20s, if that makes sense.
Sure, so, that does.
Yeah.
There's a balance there.
Right. Somewhere in between there, there's a happy medium. Exactly.
We've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Mm-hmm. Now, who would be the one person you'd love to connect with, and do you think you can do it within the sixth degree?
Wow. That is a tough question. There's the author of the book that I read, that I'm reading right now. And I'm trying desperately to remember his last name right now. And I would love to meet him.
Okay.
Because the way he was this normal guy that was working. He graduated from Michigan, got a job in, you know, IT, was getting paid, you know, a lot of money, hated his job, and basically got himself fired and said, there's got to be more to life. And he's just created this network of people to try to help them think differently and become happier beings. And being happier makes you more successful.
Okay.
And I'll have to remember his name in a minute. It's hard to pronounce, so I'm sure I'm not going to. But the book is called The Code of the Extraordinary Mind.
Hmm.
And he interviewed a lot of very successful people who he wanted to spend time with and say, okay, are you happy because you're successful, or did your success
create happiness? Create,
you know, which is it?
Yeah,
so,
sure.
And so what he found out was actually they were just really happy people, and because they were so happy with their life and what they were doing for a living, it created success.
Okay, interesting.
And so he gives you like 10 rules for how to be happier in what you do.
Hmm.
And it really causes you to look at, he calls them rules, rules that were made to be broken, or BS rules, depending on which version you want.
Okay.
But and causes you to look at that and say, am I just believing this because this is how I learned it?
Uh-huh.
And is it still relevant?
Yep.
And if it's not, I need to let that one go. And I need to move on to what the reality is. And so he calls it mind bending and different things. But it's all just very practical stuff where you go, yeah.
Sounds really
intriguing.
Yeah,
so intriguing. I would love to meet him. And I probably could by joining his group and doing some things.
Sure.
But I'd really have to carve out time to dedicate to this.
Yeah.
And part of me really, really wants to do that. And part of me is like, yeah, okay, damn. Maybe in
add
a few
another
years.
Thing to the list,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
Sounds really intriguing, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to look up the book, and I'll include the name of the author
in
the show notes here.
I think I have it written down. I'll give that to you, but it really is an incredible book.
Well, then, so you just kind of skipped to my next question here about books, because I always am intrigued by books.
Yeah.
And I like hearing what others are reading.
And I'm also really into mindfulness right now.
Yep, okay.
My middle child, a daughter, is a fourth grade teacher in Phoenix, and she has recently taken a training specifically for educators called Breathe for Change, and it's how to use, you know, yoga and breathing and mindfulness in the classroom. to calm the children, to keep yourself calm as an educator, just overall health and wellness. And it was really such an incredible journey that she went on that. And so I started reading books that would help me do that, because I think the one thing I would change about myself is I don't live in the moment. I'm always going, okay, what's next? Yep. What do I do next? Yep. And sometimes I miss like the
stop
moment.
And smell the roses.
Exactly. And so this has, I'm like, okay, all the children are out of the house now. I can, it's not that I'm jumping from activity to activity. I can maybe try to, you know, put this into my own life. So books about, and it's just called Mindfulness that I'm reading. That's another one that I'm
intriguing.
Reading right now.
I like the question about the books, because it kind of opens up the door a little bit further.
Right.
You know, and with the type of individual you are.
So what if I had said 50 Shades of Grey? What would you say now?
I might have pulled back a little bit.
And said, next question.
No. I like that, and I actually use it as an interviewing question.
Sure.
You're in Barnes & Noble, and I'm giving you a $50 gift card. Right. What section of the store are you
in? That's a good
in?
One. That's a really good one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really interesting and telling.
Yeah.
But usually people are caught off guard by that question.
I'm sure they are. So, yeah, then you get real honest answers.
Oh, you do.
Yeah.
And it is definitely, I definitely want to see you again. Or,
right.
Okay,
thanks.
Thank you for your time.
That's it.
All right. So any final word or advice to our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
You know, I think one of the things we sort of touched on it, but if you have a mission in your life, if you open up to share, and maybe that's a strong word, but is there something you really are passionate about? I think that's a good thing to share with people, because I think they realize that you're sharing something and they might open up and share something, you know, as personal back with you. And to me, it creates a window into each other's souls. And at the end of the day, we're all people, and we want to hire people we like to work with. We want to work with people,
totally.
You know, hire, you know, partners that you enjoy. And if you let people in a little bit to your life, you create this emotional connection.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I would encourage people, and I think older professionals in particular have a harder time doing that, because you're supposed to be, you know, guarded, and you're not supposed to really share too much.
Yep.
But I find that if you're going through a hard time at work or personally, you can share that with people at work. And I think it makes them, you know, more caring about you, and they understand if maybe you're reacting to things a little differently than you normally do, and cut you some slack or say, hey, can I help with something? So I think if you open up to people, they'll open up back, and then you create really endearing relationships versus just, hey, nice to meet you.
Yeah.
You know.
I agree with that 100%. And as you were saying that, I was just kind of thinking about how social media and the millennial generation, as we covered, is almost oversharing, but
right.
It's not the right type of sharing.
Right. It's things like, look what I had for dinner, or look at the great thing I did, but not maybe, and or it's oversharing
over
in, you know,
something that everyone doesn't need to know.
Exactly. Too much information. And I'm not suggesting that. I'm suggesting more just, letting people in.
Yeah, that one-on-one.
Right. I mean, like, people know in my life, military is a big thing. I come from a military background. My son is in the military.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very passionate about it. I will support it. People know that about me.
Yeah, absolutely.
They can disagree with that or not. That's fine. But they know where I stand, and they're cool with that.
Yep.
And so just as an example, if you share something to a particular level, I think you'll find people will share back.
Yeah, it's easier to connect then, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is what it's all about.
That's what networking is all about, yeah.
Well, Tam, if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way that they can reach you?
All the social media channels, honestly. I have to be on all of them. But, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and obviously bvk.com. I'm listed right there, so it's easy enough to click on that link and get a hold of me, and I'd be happy to talk to anybody.
Connect. All right.
That's right.
Well, that's great. And we'll include all of those links in our show notes.
Okay, great.
Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show today.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
Great conversation. This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Tam for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
All right. Nice. I'm going to look up that. I knew I was going to, I should have written it down. 24 minutes.